You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Michael Schroyer was the chief of the CIA's Bin Laden unit from 1996 to 1999 and was a counterterrorism analyst until 2004. He is the author of four books on terrorism and national security, the most recent being Osama Bin Laden, which is published by Oxford University Press. And I'm very pleased that he was able to join us now. Welcome back to our show.
Thank you for having me again.
It was widely believed that Osama Bin Laden was hiding in the mountains along the border of Afghanistan and Pakistan, but he was found in a city not far from Islamabad. Do you know how long he'd been living there?
I don't, but I gather it is for more than a year or so, sir. And I think, frankly, the story we got initially from Mr. Obama when he was elected, and certainly throughout Mr. Bush's tenure, of him running from rock to rock and cave to cave was really a Hollywood version of what was going on. It's what people wanted us to believe. You know, people like Bin Laden and his lieutenants are at most risk when they're moving around. And they make mistakes in their communication. They make mistakes in their patterns of travel, and they end up getting captured or killed. Bin Laden was at his safest when he was fairly sedentary. And so I don't think we should be surprised. When I was chasing him in the late 90s, he was very sedentary, living in a similar compound in Afghanistan.
Well, he was living here in a huge building protected by barbed wire. Would that have stuck out like a sore thumb when it was being built and afterward? I mean, it sounds like the kind of thing I could have spotted through using Google Earth.
Well, you might have been able to see it through Google Earth, but I don't know if it would stick out necessarily. There's a lot of rich people in the Pakistani tribal areas that are engaged in smuggling or in narcotics trafficking. So large compounds are not by themselves a sign of anything. But this one was different because of the arrangements of the windows on the house, because it was not hooked into the internet or to any kind of cable television. And they did other things that were unusual. So the behavior of the people in the house, more than the house itself, was what the telltale sign was.
And they weren't hooked up to anything because they didn't want to be traced. But in the end, they were tracked by somebody locating a trusted courier. So they were bringing stuff in by a courier rather than using telephones or the internet?
That's correct, sir. That's been a very much their MO in the last decade or so. The courier, not just to send things overseas to people, but the courier could take a message and just go down the road. Although it's hard to believe, in the Pakistani rural areas, internet cafes are very common. If Bin Laden wrote a message, he could go down the road for, 30 minutes or 40 minutes and send the message anywhere in the world. So we happen to take advantage of one of the oldest of man's means of communication, a courier, and that ended up to be the key.
Many people are wondering whether the ISI, Pakistan's intelligence service, was aware of Bin Laden's whereabouts, especially since the compound was located near a military facility. How cooperative was the ISI when you were leading the CIA's Osama Bin Laden unit in the years before the 9/11 attacks?
The Pakistani Army and ISI are as cooperative as they can be, consistent with Pakistani national interests. One thing that our presidents have never made clear, sir, to the American people, is that Pakistani interests are very different from our interests. And so the fact that some of them were knowledgeable about where Bin Laden was should only be a surprise if all of our people are Pollyannas. If you remember, when we captured Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, we captured him in Rawalpindi, in the same kind of area that's heavily populated by serving and retired military officers.
Has Bin Laden remained the leader of Al-Qaeda over this time, or have other
Very
people?
Much so.
So other people haven't risen to positions of power?
Other people have risen to positions of power in the various areas where they have new branches since 9/11. At 9/11, all of their manpower and resources were concentrated in Afghanistan. Today, they're in part of Afghanistan. They're in a big patch of Pakistan. They're in Yemen. They're in Somalia, they're in Iraq, and they're in North Africa and Gaza. So they're much more a dispersed organization, and each one of those units has a leader of its own.
But should we assume that Ayman al-Zawahiri will take over the role that Osama bin Laden had been playing?
I certainly believe in the next week or two or 3 months he'll certainly be the leader, but it's unlikely that he can last very long. He's very abrasive. He doesn't get along well with Yemenis and Saudis. And al-Qaeda has a very long record sort of preparing succession plans. So there probably is a plan for someone to succeed bin Laden and someone who is not Ayman Zawahiri.
Now, many people are predicting retaliation from al-Qaeda, but has it become too weakened to do any real damage?
I think they don't want to respond by just simply blowing up a bus or a pizza parlor. I think we'll get a response, but over the next year or more, I don't think we've weakened them all that seriously, frankly. I think the most dangerous thing right now is, although the president said last night, we're not at war with Islam, a significant portion of Islam is at war with us.
But
bin Laden's...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry?
No,
and bin Laden's death will anger a lot of Muslims, both in the Middle East, around the world, in the United States, and in Great Britain and Canada. And I wouldn't be surprised to see isolated attacks by individuals seeking revenge.
But what about the mood in the Middle East? Has that weakened his influence? Because it has shifted in the last few months with calls for democracy, which bypass al-Qaeda.
Well, that's true enough, sir. If you believe the sample that we've been treated to by CNN and BBC, they interviewed a few score of Egyptians, for example, and then who were English-speaking professionals and educated who talked about democracy. And then they read their Facebook and their Twitter, and they extrapolated that sample to be representative of 80 million Egyptians, most of whom are illiterate. So I really doubt there is any kind of groundswell for democracy we would recognize in the Middle East. And, of course, the reporting is very clear in the media that the Islamists in Egypt are gaining ground with every passing week.
Had the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq been a distraction in our search for Osama bin Laden over the past decade?
Very, very much so. I think one of the reasons it took so long to get him, sir, is Mr. Rumsfeld's rather silly plan to have a light footprint in Afghanistan. Afghanistan is bigger than Texas. It has the highest mountains on earth, and we have about 100,000 people there who have any number of jobs besides going after Osama bin Laden. So I think it is commendable. It is worth commending those men and women who, understaffed and under-resourced, continued to chase this man and finally got him.
Do you think that his death will have much significance for the struggle against the Taliban in Afghanistan?
I don't think so, sir. I think the Taliban believes it's winning. If anything, they will resent the fact that their ally was killed and probably will speed up or accelerate their military activities here in the springtime. They've already, as I read the media today, they've already promised to avenge his death.
Go ahead.
No, sir, I was just going to say al-Qaeda had pretty much withdrawn a large amount of its fighters from Afghanistan and sent them elsewhere because the Taliban had grown into such an effective military organization.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said that you expect some kind of attack. You have any sense of what it might look like and whether it be in the United States or in Western Europe?
Oh, I think it'll be against us. If it's from al-Qaeda, it'll be in the United States. If it's from people who are inspired from al-Qaeda, then your guess is as good as mine. I would think that the English-speaking countries, Australia and Canada and the United States and Britain, would be the top priorities.
Michael, thank you so much for talking with us. Again, Michael Scheuer was chief of the CIA's bin Laden unit from 1996 to 1999, before 9/11. And his latest book is Osama bin Laden, published by Oxford University Press.